said that they were paying better than that.
Because I knew I was getting that every week. Mm-hmm. It was salary. It was not piecework. Mm-hmm. I had good. I was going to get good benefits. Mm-hmm. I didn't always make $75 a week. It was me. Sometimes I did. Sometimes I didn't. There was tension. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I didn't get the work you wanted. I didn't know, of course, exactly what Mattel would be, but just that knowing that I'm going to get so much a week was very, very attractive to me. Mm-hmm. They wanted to start me out at 65, and I have no idea why. It sounded very little. So I asked for 75, and they didn't give it to me because they thought I was wonderful. They didn't know yet. I had to pass a test. I had to pass we had IQ tests in those days. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. Mm-hmm. And as far as sewing tests, I wouldn't say they gave me a sewing test. You're on a two-week trial basis. That's just, you know. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I learned a lot. We had to learn little things. I liked my job very much. Mm-hmm.
And so what year were you laid off?
Huh?
What year were you laid off?
1972, June.
Mm-hmm. Had there been promotions or
things going on? Well, I was never promoted. No, I was never promoted. We were never promoted, but we got raised and we got automatic. Well, we got refused. Mm-hmm. No, our raises were not automatic. We got automatic reviews. Mm-hmm. And I got raises. Mm-hmm. I only made $137 a week when I was laid off. Mm-hmm. But I was never, they didn't pay you that good. But we didn't have a union. Once a bunch of us girls got together, I don't know who we talked to, somebody a little higher up, and we thought we should get at least, this is a few months back, if maybe a year or so back, we thought we should get at least $150 a week, because, we were sample makers, and we had very, wasn't easy, it wasn't just so high, but wasn't a lot to it, but, you know, we had no union to fight,
Was there a big layoff at
Mattel? Well, they had a lot of layoffs at Mattel before. Mm-hmm. Since probably, I don't know, probably. But, oh yeah, every few years they had the layoff. They had a layoff a few months after I was hired. And they called some girls, some they didn't. There's quite a few layoffs. Mm-hmm.
So
this
kind of
sound
again, you're saying
Well, we used to make, it's like if you were, I didn't work for the people that designed the clothes. Sometimes we'd help out. But if you design a little dress for a doll, mm-hmm. and then the head designer and then there were so many of them. A lot of people. But finally it was approved. But once it's approved, then it has to go to pattern. Well, they had a sort of a price of how much it would cost. But they knew that would be worked on. And then once it was approved, it went to the pattern maker, who I worked for. The pattern maker takes that dress, and he tries to get it done as cheap, cost-wise, as cheap as he could. And while he was doing on paper, then once he got that done on paper, then he has to maybe change the sleeve this way. Always have the same effect on it. So while he was getting it adjusted in his mind and on paper, he'd have to sort of make samples to see how it looks on a doll. Mm-hmm. And he would just show and see, well, is it okay? This is cheaper. So we would, there was another girl and I, he would cut the pattern, and we used to cut after a while, but he'd cut the pattern, make the pattern, cut the pattern, and we'd sew it together. And we'd finish and bring it up to him, and he'd, anyway, once it was approved as far as the costing, so sometimes, you don't make one, you have to make a lot of them sometimes. Try it this way, try it that way. Have it overall, it would be the same look, overall. Sometimes they would change something, well, that they decided it didn't really matter. I had a living house. The bigger dolls, the Barbie doll, they want to see 16ths of an inch. Mm-hmm. The bigger dolls, baby dolls, they wanted a quarter of an inch. Oh, well, that's a cinch. But you'd be surprised. I found out the hard way because I was making a little coat once. I was there about 3 or 4 weeks, and they really got mad that I put on a coat like a little, sort of like a V-shape. And it looked nice, but when they moved the arm, it's kind of tight, you know, and they so they looked closer, and I took a little bit more than a quarter of an inch. And so he had to get used to taking that, and they said, you know, it's not like a person. A person is soft, or a doll's arm is just one rigid, and, you know, it has to, when they say quarter of an inch, they mean a quarter of an inch. However, so then once that's approved, you know, we all got to get used to it. You know, at first I said, I'll never make it, I'm so clumsy, but they were very patient, you know. And they were all kind of new, too. But then once that's approved, then you have to make maybe 12 to the salespeople to go to. And then and some of the samples were sent to the factories in the East or in the Orient, you know. So we were really busy. But Mattel wins, you know, they had a lot of financial problems, you know, through the years. It's a lot different. The original owners don't own it. They have a lot of stock, but they don't run it anymore. They're not even there. And so they lied about on papers. They lie, you know, businesses run on borrowed money a lot of times, and to borrow money, even though they're a big corporation, they became a big corporation. They found out later on that they lied on their books to borrow money, and they were taken to court. And so they don't even run it anymore. But so they were losing out, and they were laid off every 2 years. And they laid me off. My friend who I worked for at home, he used to be one of my bosses at Mattel. His wife used to, I didn't work with her, but so many people I know that used to work there. But I felt very bad when I laid off.
Did you
have
another job after that?
I was collecting my unemployment. I didn't care. I said, well, I'll collect for a while. I didn't try that hard. And then one time I was heard about a place called Kamar, K-A-M-A-R. They work McDowell clothes, but they make samples, and they do most of their stuff in New York. I don't know that much about it. And so they had an ad, and I said, well, gee, I'm going to call them up. And because it seemed like right up my alley. And I called them up, and I worked for them a couple of months. They didn't kind of, they didn't actually tell me, but I got the impression from what I heard about things that it wouldn't be permanent. So I was there 4 months, and they laid me off, not only me, just a couple of, no, another woman that knew. I didn't really like it too much because designer who hired me, and she designed different, what a job was, as far as I was concerned, it was taking animals from the stuffed animals, and I'd have to do a lot of the ripping, and she would try to adjust the costume for price also, just like in the idea of a pattern making, so a lot of ripping, and she starts to tell me, oh, I never argue, whatever they tell me that I do, she didn't like the way I held the scissors. She said, why do you hold the scissors that way? Why do you rip that way? And I said, this is the way I'm used to, and it's fast for me, and she said that. I'd like to have you do it my way. So I did it her way, and then we worked in a, like, it looked like the warehouse. There was a warehouse, because they didn't really have any R&D, nothing. The only office they had was a payroll and stuff like that. And it was hot as hell in the summer. Oh, it was terribly hot. It was the summertime. So anyway, they called me once after that, but I didn't want to go in. So help out. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I saw some ads in the paper, and I did some work to take home. And then my friend, I went that close to them, this Metzger and Richard, this man I used to, who was my boss and his wife, they called me up one day and asked me if I would do some work at home, just for temporarily, just a little bit of work. I found out they lived real close. They didn't even know, when they got my number, they didn't even know that I lived that close. They lived about 8 blocks from here. And they used to bring me work. Little by little, they were starting to make pillows, and little by little it got bigger and bigger before I knew it. I was working for them full time. Mm-hmm. By full time, I mean I always had work. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't like planning to stay home. I got used to staying home and working. Mm-hmm. A lot of disadvantages about it. And I worked for them until last July. It was kind of slow. They had a factory already. They already had a factory in Gardena, and they took care of their girls first, in a way. They didn't neglect me, but when it was slow, he said I was trying to keep my girls busy, and some days, well, 1 week in particular, I was It was, I didn't get any work. I was supposed to get, and I didn't get any work. And I called Richard, and he said, "I'm sorry, Eddie, there's no work." And I said, "Well, gee, you want to let me off?" And he says, "Well, I might get some work." So the following week, he says, "Yeah, I don't have anything for you. I hardly have anything for the girls." And so I didn't work since. And it just was well in the way that it was the summer. My granddaughter came down for the summer for a whole month. So I said, "Well, don't have to hurry. Call me back, Richard." I said, "You know, I'm going to have to come." He said, "No, I probably wouldn't be calling you back for a while." And then, in fact, in the summertime, they were talking about moving to San Marcos. They already bought a house there, moved there last April. And they were coming here twice a week, two or three times a week, 200 miles back and forth, oh, you know. So they were thinking about moving, and then to San Marcos, which again in October. And in the summertime, like when I said, we became very good friends. And I said, you know, even if you got busy now, it'd be kind of foolish for me to go in for, I'd get work for even a week or two. I said, "You're getting ready to move." She said, "Sure." And then, of course, Johnny wasn't well, though he had a very good summer. And September, he had a heart attack. And October, he had a stroke, which I'll never know if he had a stroke. I think it was a tumor. And we found out he had a tumor in December, and he died in January. Mm-hmm. Would have been nice if I had a job. If they were here, and now, I would have, even though they once asked me if I wanted to work in a factory, their factory, and I said no. They were paying $4.50, especially the experienced girls. They had all Oriental girls, or Mexicans rather. And they were paying $4.50 an hour to an experienced operator, so you didn't get too many. And so they once asked me if I wanted, you know, just, they didn't care, but if I wanted to work there, I said, well, it's kind of tempting for the money, knowing what I'd get no matter what. Because here they paid me according to how many I made. But as I got used to it, I found to dress up. The gas, not that it's that much. I said, but who am I going to talk to? I can't understand Spanish. I can't understand speaking. So I said, for that reason alone, I wouldn't go. So, but if after my husband died in probably a week or two, if they had the factory, I would go in and say, let me do some work in the factory. He said, sure, if I want. If, you know, they would have left me if they had the factory here. Because that would have been good to work outside.
Now, you didn't have any
stay
with
other people? Oh, no, I told you. After we moved here, we decided that it's too much pressure. And going out at night and, you know, sad because, you know, we quit.
And what
year was that? Well, I would say we moved here in 63. So, I could tell you exactly. May, next month, would have been 15 years that he would have worked for Norris Industries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was an assembler, then he became an inspector.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking, in terms of after you get married, how did you handle, say,
money.
Well,
even then, we always decided things together. But in those days, as I remember, I didn't make much, and he made more than I did. He had to pay child support, too. He used to pay the bills. I used to, what I made, we sort of stick our heads together, and what I made wasn't that much, and I figured so much on the groceries. And I don't know how much money I decided to keep my pocket, and I put my money in with him. You know, the checking accounts were always both in our names, but he used to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
He took over when he moved in that apartment. He just took over and paid. When I started to pay bills, is when I only thing I didn't like, and he made better than I did, but we were far from loaded, far from it. And if I needed a few extra dollars, I'd ask him. And he was very nice about it. But I didn't. I was reasonable. But I always try to keep, some extra money in your pocket. Do you need a few, $5 more? I said, yeah, I can always use $5 more. And, but I hated to ask. That's the part to this day. I hate to ask. Because I was used to being on my own before. But anyway, 1959, when he went into business, and he says, you know, Ann, he says, because, he wasn't always home. He wasn't ever going, maybe a couple of days at most at times. He said, it'd be a lot easier for you, because he, and even to this day, he never did like to have to bail and wait. He didn't like to pay the very next day either. But he doesn't want to pay the last minute. So he said, this way, when it comes time to pay the bills, you pay it. So I took care of the money. I took care of everything, the rent, everything. And it seems like ever since then, that's the way I did it. Sometimes through the years, and so I said, oh, God damn, I'm sick and tired of this, you know. I said, you know, I hate that responsibility. He said, well, what do you mean responsibility? I said, I don't know. I just feel like I don't like that responsibility in my mind. This has to be paid then. This has to be paid then. I said, you pay it. And he never carried a checkbook. He said, I don't have to carry a checkbook. Even years ago, he gave it home. I always carry a checkbook. But then I get over my man. I said, no, I can't let go. I can't let go. Mm-hmm. See, I did have that feeling. I can't let go. Only when I was, because there were times when even though, as years went by, we were better off financially. What I mean by that, we never lived high and hard. You know, we try to pay for things. And everybody made a little more money. And my mortgage still, only pay $87 a month, which helped a lot. Still does. I can pay it off now, I guess, if I want to. So there was more money. There's more money to be free with, you know. But I hated that idea that if he paid most of the bills, I might have to ask him for a dollar, and I get it, but that's not the idea. I don't like to ask. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to let go. Mm-hmm.
So did, with everything outside of money and everything, what was your relationship with that?
In what way?
In terms of making decisions.
Oh, we always decide. If I want to get a pair of shoes, didn't have to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And he never asked me, but he said, you know, Ann, I got to get a pair of another work shoes. I said, okay, so he wanted me to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated, but something about he always, I don't mean that he never could buy anything without me. It's not that. We were close, but it isn't that he was afraid to turn around without me. Somehow he wanted me there, maybe because I could have put the check out or paid out of my pocket, because sometimes I had to cash my pocket. And yet he didn't want to go with me when I wanted to. But I never had to ask him, gee, I got to get a pair of shoes, can I? But we always, when we bought that couch and that table, we went together. If I had been sick or when, many years ago I was, when I had that hemorrhoid operation, our TV was very bad. We talked about getting a TV, so when I came home from the hospital, he said, Todd, we already bought an RCA TV. You know, that's not that different. But Daniel said we bought together. I bought a portable set one. I want to get a portable set. We want another set. Ours was any good. And I said, let's get a portable. Yeah, we will one day. So one day I said, well, I'm going to go get it. That time I went to, wasn't only whatever, but I went and got one. White one, I think it was. But, no, we decided, we bought a lot of stuff together. You know, mostly everything. We talked, though. When we bought cars, we bought together. At the same time, I always let him decide with the kind, not the kind necessarily. He wants a Chrysler product, we bought the Velaris. Once we had that little Ford, I sold to my stepdaughter, you know, after my husband died. We loved that. He loved that car, the 67, though. We always went together. He kind of, at that time when we bought the 67, he had a van and it was totaled out. We had an accident, but thank God he was okay. But it was totaled out, so we had to buy a new car, another car, so we found a new car. He looked at Buicks and others, some practically new but not new, and I never put my foot down as far as car, but I said, you know, Johnny, let's buy a new car. And I said, what do you kind of want? I said, and I know much better. I said, but well, let's go and get a Ford, you know. And so we got a Ford. And we bought the house together. I'm the one that we looked at it together, we decided things together. I like to say about Buena Park, sometimes you decide things together. One person wants it more than the other, that's no doubt. I wouldn't say that was never true. he wasn't crazy about getting another talent. I'm the one that, I always wanted a dining set. Probably I needed like a whole of it. I used it, of course, but I always thought I wanted a dining set with a buffet. That, I was a kid, I always wanted that. And he wouldn't have cared if we didn't get it. He wasn't that kind of, I guess he could have lived in an old, I don't mean dirty, like clean. He wasn't furniture conscious, like he wanted to replace his folks had things for years and years and years.
What kind of things
did you do? Well, we didn't do too much together the last 2 years. Well, we used to go on picnics, shows, though he wasn't that crazy. We used to go to plays once in a while. He wasn't much on classical stuff, like classical. What did we do together? Disney, he liked Disney, liked company a lot. He used to blow a bowl, I didn't go with him. He'd blow, when he worked for Tidewater Oil, and I probably didn't ask, I remember, but the league was already, he was in the league when I even met him. What did we do together? Probably nothing. Watch TV together. We didn't live an exciting life. We went on trips. We liked to go on trips. Yeah, we liked to go on trips. Not necessarily once a year. Sometimes we go on weekend trips. Not every week either. A couple times a year. We loved having a dog. He didn't like the garden. You can see my backyard. He was a perfectionist. That doesn't mean everything was perfect. We argued because he said, well, I don't always agree with him. And I said, maybe I don't. Why do I have to, you know? We used to argue about, not twice. He didn't twice. He argued. And sometimes he thought I was bossy, you know. Sometimes I thought I wasn't bossy, but he was bossy. And he would tell me we weren't the only ones. But I'm independent, though I guess I'm independent in my thinking. Mm-hmm. But I was very dependent on him. I never didn't think I was.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 12?